morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Monday, February 25th, 2019. We have 24 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have a low-pressure system approaching the Oregon coast today, and additional low-pressure systems will arrive later this week. That's kind of the story of our weather at this time of year, one low-pressure system after another. We have a small craft advisory for winds in effect through this afternoon. That means 20 to 34 knots. Today, northeast winds 10 to 15, and they will move around to the north 5 to 10 this afternoon, gusting to 25 knots, especially near coastal gaps. Wind waves northeast from the northeast at about 3 feet high at about 4 seconds apart, and northwest swells 3 feet at 10 seconds, and there is a chance of rain in the forecast. Well, let's take today we're going to be talking a little bit more about a solo race, a sailing race called the Golden Globe that has been going on since July. It was last July, 17 36-foot sailboats left France on a round-the-world solo race. And I've talked a little bit about this before, but I found an article that had some very interesting information about the future of this race and why it is becoming more and more difficult for people to do. So has a lot to do with who we are as people, as humans, and also with worsening weather because of climate change. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, let's talk about our Columbia River Ship Report for the day. We have 8 inbounders, 9 in the Astoria Anchorage and the Rice Island Anchorage, and we have 7 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Maratha Promise, arriving from Seattle, headed for Longview's Anchorage. She'll pass Astoria around 7:30 this morning, and about 3.5 hours later, you might see her in the Anchorage off Longview. The Ken Hu is arriving from Japan, headed for Astoria's Anchorage. She'll be there by about 10:30. She is one of 5 ships that are coming into the anchorage today. Our anchorage has been really full lately. Yesterday, there were about a dozen ships there. Some of those must have moved out overnight to make room for these others because there's only so much room there. There aren't any defined, say, as people have asked me, parking spaces out there, so to speak, for ships. But they do have to be positioned far enough apart so that they can swing at anchor with the tide and current and not hit one another. So we've had a pretty full anchorage there for the past couple of weeks. Next inbound is the Amstel Tiger. She's arriving from China, headed for the Rice Island Anchorage. She'll be there at about 11:30. That's a little bit upriver from Astoria, opposite Tongue Point. The Stentor is arriving from going through the Panama Canal. She probably went through, she's only less than 600 feet long. She probably went through the old side of the Panama Canal. There are actually 2 sets of canals there now, one larger to accommodate bigger ships and the one that has been there for many years that is still in operation. She'll pass Astoria and glide to a stop in the anchorage around 1:30 p.m. today. The Caravos Glory is arriving from South Korea. She's also headed for our Astoria anchorage, probably arriving there around 7:30. The Taurus Confidence is arriving from Ferndale, also headed for the anchorage off Astoria. The Navios Northern Star is arriving from China. She, too, is headed for Astoria's anchorage around 7:30 p.m. Now, when you see ships arriving at around the same time, they're careful to keep a couple of miles between them as they're traveling on the river in case anything happens, in case anybody has engine failure, runs aground, any of those kinds of things that can happen. They want to leave space so that they can adjust for any emergencies that might occur. It doesn't happen very often, but they do want to be prepared, and safety is a really big deal on the river and elsewhere at sea. The Outrider is arriving from Port Angeles. She's headed for the Vancouver anchorage. She'll pass Astoria around 8:30 p.m., and about 6 hours later, you'll see her in, or her running lights, at least, off of Vancouver, Washington. In the Astoria anchorage, we have the Dream Sky headed up to from the Rice Island anchorage up to the Port of Portland to pick up soda ash. The Sea Star Venture is leaving the anchorage probably around 3 o'clock this afternoon to go up to Portland and pick up wheat. The King Milo is leaving the Astoria anchorage around 6 p.m. to go up to Kalama and pick up corn, soy, or possibly wheat, some combination of those three. And that leaves in the Astoria anchorage the Arabella, the Agia Skeppy, the Ever Sovereign, the Vita Cosmos. They're all awaiting orders. And in the Rice Island anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria, the Aspasia Luck, the Bonanza YR are awaiting orders there. And our outbounders, the Stamina is leaving Kalama with wheat on board at about 4 a.m. So probably maybe about 9 o'clock. We could see her any minute going past Astoria outbound. The TY Point is leaving Portland at about 6 in the morning, so maybe around noontime we'll see her pass Astoria outbound. The articulated tug and barge rig, the Sound Reliance, she's a Crowley Maritime vessel, leaving Portland around 7 a.m., so maybe around 1 p.m. we'll see her pass Astoria outbound. She has refined petroleum products on board. The ANSAC, Christine Nancy. ANSAC is American Natural Soda Ash Corporation. She's a dedicated soda ash bulk carrier leaving the Port of Portland around 11:30. So maybe around 5:30 we might see her pass Astoria outbound. The American Bulker is leaving Longview. Could have logs on board. She's leaving about maybe 2:30 p.m. outbound, so about 3.5 hours later past Astoria. The Strategic Alliance is leaving Longview with soda ash on board around maybe 5:30 p.m., and the Atlas is leaving Longview with wheat on board at about 11 o'clock this evening. Well, this is a very interesting race that I mentioned earlier on the Ship Report, the Golden Globe race. I started talking about it a few months ago when the only woman contender in the race, this is a solo race around the world in relatively small boats, 36-foot sailboats with minimal, it's a pretty low-tech race. A lot of the really fancy equipment that people have on modern racing yachts are not allowed on this boat. It's designed to be a relatively low-cost, low-tech race that is open to a lot of people and not just really wealthy people who can own huge yachts. So this is a challenging race. You basically are on the boat alone for almost a year. You only have radio communication. That's about all you have, a few other things that you're allowed to have. But basically, it's a very low-tech race. And when I first talked about it, I talked about it in the context of the only woman contender. Her boat was pitch-poled off the bottom of South America in the Southern Ocean, very, very difficult, notorious ocean on the planet. And a pitch-poling means that her 36-foot sailboat went completely over, head over tea kettle, so to speak, stern over bow, just flipped over and was really damaged severely. She was injured, and she had to be evacuated from the boat. So this race, there are only 17 people left in July from France. Only three of them are remaining. One is still months from the finish line. So this race has a history of being very difficult to complete, and hardly anybody can complete it. But there are some issues happening now that are making it possibly even more difficult for people to handle a race like this. And one of them is that people are just simply not used to being alone the way you have to be in this kind of race. The first person, it was the 50th anniversary this year, the first person who ever did it sailed around the world and alone on the boat, and Robin Knox Johnston, I think is his name, Johnson. And he, this was before cell phones, it was before a lot of the connectivity that we have now. And what they're finding is that people are really used to being in close communication with one another. And so mentally and emotionally, the race, this kind of a race, is more draining than it used to be on people for just simply that all that solitude is hard for a lot of people now. But also, climate change is causing those areas down there called the Roaring 40s, the Furious 50s, the Screaming 60s, in that southern part of the world in the oceans where the winds are already pretty difficult and notorious, to become even more intense. And so they're wondering if this race will even be possible if the weather intensifies the way it seems to be doing there, because the people whose boats have been damaged, their boats have just been smashed by the weather in that really difficult part of the world. You've been listening to The Ship Report, a show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.